The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Or Ray at RTE.ie. Now, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties are calling for a change in the law in order to protect victims of image-based sexual assault. At the moment, there's no specific legislation for this type of harassment, and privacy expert with the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Elizabeth Farries, is on the line. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. So, in the vernacular, people talk about revenge porn, but you don't like that term.
Yeah, it's a problematic term. I just before we tackle the concept of revenge porn, I just want to back it up a little bit and point out that the substance of our submissions talks about how harassment and harmful behavior is a really serious problem, and it's gendered. And in the case of image-based sexual abuse, women certainly experience manifestations of this problem more than men. And it's an example of how inequalities experienced offline are actually being amplified online. And so when you take this terminology like revenge porn, that term is almost, you know, I feel like it almost feeds the problem a little bit. Mm. And there's other terms that are similar. I mean, there's non-consensual pornography, there's intimate image abuse. None of these terms get it quite right. And here's why. First of all, this form of abuse, it's not pornography. It's abuse. And it's also motivated for a variety of reasons that don't always just include
revenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the intent is really to violate someone, to violate their privacy and to violate their dignity.
So you believe that, and it makes complete sense, that image-based sexual assault is a much better term.
Yeah, and that's a term that comes from the UK, from academics McGlynn and Rackley. In their opinion, and I agree, it better covers the fact that this is non-consensual. And it's not just non-consensual at the distribution phase where people are uploading it online, but it can also be non-consensual with respect to the creation of the images themselves. So either when the pictures are taken and or when they're distributed.
So at the moment, we are dealing with laws that are over 20 years old to deal with this.
Yeah, life before the internet.
Yes.
I mean, it's a new world. It's a new sort of place that we're dealing with when we talk about these problems happening online. And when you did something that was terrible 20 years ago, you could reach sort of a relatively limited audience. Now, with like a click of your mouse or a click of a button, you can send an inappropriate image across a vast, massive audience, and that can spread really quickly. So the laws that were built 20 years ago didn't really tackle these sorts of problems because the tech, you know, it simply wasn't there.
So you're presenting to a government committee in a few weeks' time. Because there is a change in the law coming down the tracks.
Yes, we'll be talking to the Oireachtas Justice Committee on the 23rd of October, and we'll be giving advice and input about how to better tackle the harms attached to this. And, you know, there isn't really a single bullet approach to this. It's sort of a multifaceted approach that we advise.
And will you be citing specific cases when you talk to them?
Yeah, we'll talk about the experience of certain individuals, particularly in Ireland. There are people that have experienced very egregious abuse, and we'll talk about that. We can talk about examples overseas as well. This is a growing and spreading problem that has had global consequences, and it has played out in the same way as it's played elsewhere in Ireland, too, with very, very harmful effects. And so I just wanted to be clear about how harmful this phenomenon is. It can be absolutely devastating. It's not simply that the images are released online, which is terrible in and of itself, but victims of image-based sexual abuse are frequently subsequently threatened with sexual assault. They can be stalked. They can be harassed based on sort of a notoriety attached to this form of abuse that they weren't seeking. And, you know, people have been fired from their jobs. Young women have been forced to change schools, and unfortunately some victims have committed suicide subsequent to the abuse.
And at present, this outdated legislation that is governing this at the moment demands a pattern of behaviour. So if one single photograph or image is uploaded onto the internet or through WhatsApp or wherever, that doesn't count as a crime as things stand.
Yeah, that's correct. The Section 10 insists on a pattern of behavior. And as the Law Reform Commission has pointed out, you don't need a pattern for this to be extremely harmful. And so they're recommending, and we agree, an amendment to Section 10 that doesn't simply require a pattern of behavior. And the ICCL has also suggested a separate offense to be introduced to be introduced in order to target image-based sexual abuse itself. Okay, but now, we suggest legislation with words of caution, though, right?
Okay.
These offenses, the legislation can't be worded so vaguely that it doesn't meet legality standards. There's a lot of rightful concern right now about the types of harassment and harmful behavior that are occurring online. But you can't simply draft a broad law saying something like, you know, harmful content is bad. That's too vague. And if a law is that vague, it could lead to, you know, censorship. It could lead to people taking down information off the internet that actually has a right to be there, that's a legitimate form of speech. That's why we're asking for very clear specificity, for example, identifying the harm, image-based sexual abuse itself.
Yeah, but I suppose the problem is, and we're in the middle of it now, is that that's something that some technology that might be developed in the future may not lie within a very specific description of what exists now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, the counter response can't be to just say broadly.
And what about just new legislation completely, as opposed to trying to add on to something that's not fit for purpose?
Yeah, we have suggested a separate offence, potentially a civil offence, together with access to legal aid so that victims can empower themselves and get direct remedies quickly. Now, to be clear, it's not simply enough to draft the laws. The Gardaí themselves, we can't have effective enforcement without a cultural understanding at the Gardaí level about what this problem means. Mm. So part about bringing out strong legislation is also, as the ICCL has recommended previously, reframing Irish policing to grounded in principles of human rights. And that reframing could include, you know, this new world that we're in that has online and gendered considerations. So part of that would mean really effective training to raise awareness in the first instance of gender rights, to raise awareness that it's not someone's fault if their images are taken and put online, to avoid things like victim blaming, and to develop and integrate training modules across law enforcement units about this.
What have they done in other countries?
That's the thing. So starting about 5 or 6 years ago, different jurisdictions have become very responsive to this problem, and we're seeing a whole host of legislation come out as a result of that. We've talked in our submissions about specific laws that have come out in England and Wales, in Scotland and Australia. So in Wales, Section 33 of the Criminal Justice and Courts Act introduced the offence of disclosing sexual photographs and film with intent to cause distress. So we would take issue with that. It's not, you know, it shouldn't simply be intent to cause distress. It should be the disclosure of the material itself. In Scotland, there's the Abusive Behaviour and Sexual Harm Act that has come out, where, again, disclosing or threatening to disclose an intimate photograph or film. Mm. And in Australia, which has gotten a lot of notice, they've actually implemented an e-safety commissioner, which tackles online abuse. Again, the Law Reform Commission has looked very closely at the Australian model. The ICCL, again, would be very cautionary about putting in a broad system that sort of tackles online abuse generally without bringing in those specific crimes.
Is it likely that, you know, in the coming years that it won't be as gender specific? Because, you know, there was an example of a case in the north of Ireland where a young boy, teenager, it was threatened that a picture of him would be posted up. So what I'm saying to you is...
Yeah, isn't that terrible?
Yes.
That's awful.
Horrific.
Yeah, young boys and men experience this too, yes, certainly. But just to be clear, stats show that with respect to image-based sexual abuse, the majority of victims are women and the majority of perpetrators are men.
The
qualitative research carried out by the ICCL this summer showed the exact same findings. Yeah. But let me be really clear about this. I mean, the LGBT plus community is at increased risk of various types of online harassment. One's race, one's religion, one's mental health status, one's ability. These are all risk factors for abuse as well.
Any legislation has to encompass all of that. What responsibility do the Facebooks and the Twitters and the WhatsApps have?
Yeah, so part of our recommendations, we looked at, stronger and more clear laws, better education, and sort of pushing a cultural change in the Gardaí to sort of ground human rights-based understandings. At the social media company, and there was a huge buzz about this in the Oireachtas yesterday, where there was a lot of finger-pointing at the social media company. Mm. I want to be clear, we can't sort of put this entirely on their shoulders. There are levels of enforcement that are required across the board. What I think the best thing that we could see from social media companies right now is, and as we've asked in our submissions, we need these companies to publish in full their policies and their actions regarding the content they leave up and the content they bring down. And so they talk about these things very broadly to the public and to the Oireachtas. They'll cite certain specific instances, but I know they have more material back there that they're not disclosing. And we think the publication of this should be a completely normal practice, because think about how huge these companies are. It's such a massive evidentiary set that they have that if they shared it with rights bodies, if they shared it with legislators, if, you know, the judiciary saw it, everyone could make better and more evidence-based decisions about how to respond to abusive behavior going forward. So the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Expression calls this radical transparency. I don't think there's anything particularly radical about it at all. The idea.
So you want them to make public what things they leave up and what things they take down and why they do that.
Yeah, so
that
they
level
have
of transparency. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they have sort of brief public-facing policies that they share with everyone, but I know there are more comprehensive policies in the background, guiding specific decisions, and there's stats there as well. It would be very helpful for all of us to see it, and I wouldn't be opposed to that being made mandatory on a legislative level.
And do you think they should be, Facebook and WhatsApp, do you think they should be seen as publishers as opposed to platforms?
Yeah, that's a complicated argument that came up in the Oireachtas. I mean, I would say Facebook is both a publisher and an intermediary. So when Mark Zuckerberg, publishes a note saying, guys, we're going to do this better, our content moderation is going to get better all the time, here's what I think about it, and here's what we're going to do, that's an example of something that Facebook publishes. Now, when someone gets online and says something nasty to someone else or shares a really terrible picture, I don't know if I would be comfortable calling the social media companies publishers in that sense. Because again, it's, if you're going to make that broad wholesale label for an entire population, you're taking away a lot of protections for bodies that share information.
But most people share benign information, and so it doesn't apply to them. If they were seen as publishers, they'd be a lot more responsible for what goes through their platform, goes through their system.
Calling them a publisher sort of puts a legal impetus on them and a liability on them if they don't respond in a certain way. And it's a very strong task to take someone like Facebook to, if there aren't clearly defined laws for others even. So in the case of image-based sexual abuse, if we don't have a clear law to guide, say, law enforcement or judges, for example, why would we necessarily expect Facebook to do a better job? Why are we putting that burden on their shoulders alone? It's a multifaceted problem that requires responses at a lot of different levels.
Okay, and it's something we'll be talking about again and again and again. For the moment, Elizabeth Farries from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, thanks so much for taking our call. Thank you.
Thanks.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.